Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good night, good morning, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I am your host here on Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And tonight, I'm very happy because we have as our guest, Reverend Tiffany Andes, and I'm going to read you a little bit about her biography. Reverend Tiffany Andes Denora is a full-time wife, mother, and life coach. She is an eighth-year veteran of the United States Air Force, owns her own company called Indomitus Life Coaching, and serves veterans suffering from trauma, PTSD, substance abuse, and similar issues. She is fully ordained with Circle Sanctuary of Barnabell, Wisconsin, and serves as their Military Circles Program Coordinator and on the Lady Liberty League Military Affairs Task Force. In her free time, she likes to write, read, cook, work out, create magic, and spin fire. And she also does divination and throws the bones, and that's why I was so excited to have her on the show tonight. So, Tiffany, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
I'm good, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to have you here. And I'm going to tell people a story that I told you not too long ago in a text message. And I want people to know this about you. I think it was 2015 or 2016 that it was when I met you. And I was just walking into Circle Sanctuary, and you approach me and you say, "Hi, my name is Tiffany. I'm one of the ministers here with Circle Sanctuary. Welcome to Circle. If you need anything, please let me know." I think you were like the warmest person I've ever met. And I will never, ever, ever forget that gesture that you had with me. And I just kept it to myself for so long. I never told anybody, and I don't think I ever told you either until we coincided on a private message because of other things. And yeah, you are an amazing person, and I really appreciate you. And I appreciate you being on the show tonight. So welcome.
Thank you, Laura, and thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
All right, so let's get down to it. And as I always, of course, we're going to talk about divination and we're going to talk about throwing the bones, but I want people to get to know you a little bit better, kind of like on a personal level, learn about your past. And I always ask my guests, I have to, how do you enter the world of the realm of earth-based religions and paganism?
So when I was younger, I lived on a farm in Louisiana, and very rural farm, and I was probably the only Asian person within a 50-mile radius. But I wasn't really connected to religion at the time. My mother was a recovering Roman Catholic, and we had gone to church at a couple of different churches, and nothing really stuck. And she was trying to, you know, feed me like chicken soup for the teenage soul and that kind of thing. And I started doing my own research. I looked at Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam and everything I could get my hands on, and nothing quite stuck. And my eighth grade reading teacher had a copy of The Myths of Avalon by Marion Zimmer Bradley. And when I read that book, I just remember something clicked for me, specifically as they talked about goddess worship and the priestesses of Avalon and things like that. And I started doing research in that arena to find out, you know, paganism and Wicca and the different traditions that sort of, you know, fit under that. And I was hooked. I read everything I could possibly read at that point, and I've remained pagan ever since.
That is a beautiful way to be welcome with that book. You know, like, the world of magic. How do you connect with Circle? When do you connect with Circle?
I believe it was around 2012. I was still on active duty, and I was helping to run military circles in different locations where I'd been stationed. And the church that I had been involved with, we had a disagreement. And so I knew the other main church that supports military ministries is Circle Sanctuary. So I had a conversation with Selena. I at the time wanted to be a military chaplain because we don't currently have any pagan chaplains in the uniform. And so I wanted to go to seminary and go through those steps. And Selena was very supportive. I went to my first PSG in 2013 when I was pregnant with my son. So you can imagine how interesting that was. And just everyone was so welcoming and warm and amazing. And I've been in the organization ever since.
That is so awesome. How do you navigate a PSG when you're pregnant?
You drink lots of water.
That's kidding.
Number one. Yeah, and you just take it at your own pace. But I can tell you that the memories, the most vivid memories I have were from being with Enchantment and just singing, you know, and it was a full moon, and it was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Not to get off topic here, but this is part of your life, and this is part of your practice. How does a person, I mean, this is kind of a stupid question, come to think of it, but I have to ask it. How do you reconcile being a earth-based spiritual practitioner and then be in the military? And I know,
for me,
you know, like, how does that,
yeah,
how does one reconcile that?
I've had lots of discussions with conscientious objectors. You know, they ask those similar questions about, because the military is seen as very violent and, you know, and sort of a system that upholds patriarchy and these other things. I've always looked at it from my own personal perspective of a warrior's path. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, I was an officer in the military, and one of the oaths that we take is to uphold the Constitution and to defend it from enemies, internal, you know, or external. And so for me, that was a badge of honor, or it's sort of this responsibility that I take on. If I'm given an order that is unlawful, it's my duty to not follow that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the path that I walk, is, you know, someone who has taken an oath to support my country and the people that I serve, and to do that as honorably as I possibly can.
That is, oh my God, that is poetry, the way you, I mean, I kind of knew that's the depth of it, but, you know, I have to ask, because I know probably the listeners are going to be like me, like, how do you do this? So, yeah, I have to ask. And then I'm also very interested about asking, how do you combine also your work with your career as a life coach? And helping veterans, mm-hmm, and helping people with their mental health, and then, mm-hmm, bringing a nature-based spirituality into the mix.
Sure. So when I started on this path, especially when I got involved with Circle Sanctuary, I wanted to become a chaplain, which is someone who, you know, supports others in their spirituality and their emotional health and things like that. And I worked in two veterans hospitals, one in Tennessee and one in Lexington. And, you know, my primary duties were to be there to emotionally support people who are in the hospital environment, you know, whatever whatever might be happening to them, if they have cancer or they, you know, just got a bad diagnosis, or if they're having issues with substance abuse or things like that, just being there for them and helping them connect with their spirituality was my primary job in that capacity. So when I decided to expand that to life coaching, that's also a large portion of the work that I do, not only giving them the tools to navigate where they're at and to make, you know, goals for their future, but also highlighting those things in their lives that are important, like spirituality, like their connection with their family, their community, nature, whatever it is that holds that sacred meaning for them. It's part of the whole health and the whole healing journey.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's true, the rumor that they say that a lot of people within the military are actually becoming pagan or some type of nature-based religion, or is that really just the hype?
No, I personally have seen a growth of, you know, earth-centered and earth-based believing folks and folks of other pagan paths, just in the few short years that I was in the military. It's, you know, with the distinctive faith group and distinctive religious group programs that we run where we interface with military installations, I get requests all the time from different locations saying, we have a circle here. Can you please sponsor us so that, you know, we can have resources and have services and things like that. And right now we're running anywhere between 15 and 20 circles in different locations all around the world and on some naval ships as well.
Wow. Wow, that is amazing. Well, mm-hmm. not to be the cliche person, and very, very respectfully, I will have to say thank you for your service and thank you for doing the service that you continue doing, helping folks express their spirituality, even in these environments that are probably not too welcoming, you know, because paganism still kind of like look at it sideways from this kind of institutions. But it mm-hmm. is so awesome that you're doing all this work, and enough about that. I don't want to like continue bogging you with that. I want to really get into the divination part, because people might say I'm biased, but you know, I'm really into divination.
Yes.
How did you get into divination? When did you discover that divination was your thing?
Probably I was maybe 15, 16 at the time, and I was around the, you know, when folks were like, "Oh, you can't buy your own tarot deck, right? Because that's bad luck." Or mm-hmm. you have to be gifted a tarot deck, that kind of thing. And I just remember I was in Barnes & Noble, and I was looking for books and things like that. And I can't remember what tarot deck it was, but it also came with a corresponding book. And I just thought that was so beautiful, the artwork and, you know, the idea and all this stuff. So I had to buy my own set. And, you know, I spent hours, you know, just looking at the cards and kind of getting to know them. So tarot was really my first step into divination. Mm-hmm. And since then, you know, I've started playing with Lenormand and with Oracle decks and with, you know, a couple of different types of divination. And really throwing the bones is something, it's my newest sort of, you know, delve into curiosity and those types of things. But I love divination.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite card from the Major Arcana?
I'd have to say for me, it's the Star. Because it's meant a lot to me in my personal journey, and whenever mm-hmm. it comes up in a reading, I'm always excited.
I never had the chance to ask that question to somebody, so it's like, let me see, because you know you get to know a lot about the person. You're not asking me, but I'm gonna tell you, mine is the Car, the Chariot. You know, it's like,
okay,
oh yeah,
that's a good pick.
Yeah, moving forward and evolving and changing. For those people who are not familiar with the tarot, what are you waiting for? You know, you know, get to it. And so So speaking of you're not supposed to buy your own tarot, what will be your advice to people that are like new to, you never know, you know, there might be people, there might be folks who are still kind of shy into buying a deck and getting to study themselves. What will you advise them?
I'm of the school that believes, you know, take in as much knowledge as you possibly can. If that means buying your own deck and exploring it and spending time with it, then do that, really.
Yeah, me too. What is your opinion on folks that say, and not just tarot, but any other system of divination, folks that say, you're supposed to be born with the gift. You cannot learn the gift.
In my personal journey, any time that I've got an insatiable hunger to learn about something, like I can't stop thinking about it, the least I do is research about it. You know, and this goes for different traditions. This goes if I have an encounter with a deity, you know, this goes across the board kind of thing. I'm a huge advocate for training if you can possibly acquire that, you know, with someone of a specific tradition or any of these things, right? But divination is also such a personal journey. And we don't have gatekeepers. Oh, well, I won't say that. There are some folks who are trying to gatekeep in this kind of arena. And I think you can respect and honor what it is you're doing and learn about it and also practice in a very reverential way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I it does make sense, and I totally agree. And I will have to add that, you know, when people ask me, do you think you are born a psychic or you can be made a psychic? And my answer is yes. Like, why does it have to be one or the other? You know, people, some folks are born with it and some folks are studying really hard and learning it. And I think it's either way is valid, you know, like everybody's practice is valid. Something that I said many times over the weekend is, not because you don't experience something doesn't mean that something does not exist.
Right.
You know. So you mentioned earlier about your origin background of being Asian. Is there any type of divination from the Asian culture that you are attracted to or that you have practiced?
Actually, bone throwing is, there are some arenas of that that are tied to Mongolia and those areas of the world. And so I found that to be a lovely sort of significance when I got involved with bone throwing, because it felt like I had an opportunity to look back at some of my own culture, if that makes sense.
I will answer when I pick up my jaw from the floor. Oh my God, I've been schooled. And that's why I invite you, because I wanted to be schooled. What? I didn't know. You know what I thought? I'm so ignorant. I always thought that this was exclusively coming from like more of the African diaspora traditions and like the voodoo and hoodoo and that type of stuff.
Yeah. And
but you have
history
just,
there as well.
You have just like, thank you. I've been taken to school and it's wonderful. Wow, that is, well, then I see how, yeah, that has to be a very strong motivator to kind of like reconnect with ancestry and culture. Wow. So when do you, how did you get into throwing bones?
So I mentioned that I grew up in Louisiana, and during that time that I lived there, I had the opportunity to go to New Orleans several times, you know, as I was growing up, and experience a lot of the Vodun culture and the Santeria and the other things that were, you know, that are a part of that particular region. And so I had seen bone throwing in practice, like when I was younger. I saw it again in 2015 when I went to Africa. I was in Zimbabwe in South Africa, and they actually had a traditional bone reader there. And I, you know, I asked if I could have a reading. And he actually used the cowrie shells and some nuts that I couldn't recognize when he did his reading. And then maybe 2 years ago, I, for some reason, you know, I started thinking about that, and I was having like dreams and sort of these types of things prompting me to kind of be like, let me look into that, you know. And I read about how you actually acquire your own curiosa and your own bones, how you take care of them, you know, the importance of the culture behind them and how they connect you to your ancestors and spirits and all that kind of thing. So at about that point, I started building my own curiosa and doing that work.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there has to be a cultural, because you mentioned earlier, you know, like gatekeepers and I mean, this is one of those practices that is kind of like in the fence in my mm-hmm. very limited experience. Like, do we do it? Do we don't do it? How do we do it without being insensitive to other cultures? What is the intention behind it? What is the effect behind it? So how would you recommend someone that is not ethnically or connected by ancestry to any of those traditions mm-hmm. to approach it?
I always advocate to do your research. Just like with the tarot, it's possible for you to just pick up a deck and start doing readings. But how, you know, you don't have the knowledge necessary or the personal experience, you know what I mean? Like, you need to give yourself the tools for success as you grow with your practice. And it's with a practice like this, I advocate for the same thing. If it's possible to learn from someone who does it firsthand, who has those cultural ties, please, by all means, take that opportunity because it's priceless. And if you can't have that opportunity, at least give yourself the thorough knowledge of where it culturally comes from, you know, how it could apply to you. I mean, also take an ancestry or a DNA test and see if you possibly have these cultural ties to something like this, because you never know for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then also, as you build it into yourself and your practice, you know, give thanks to those sources of knowledge that have given you this, you know, the first step on the journey. So whether that is your ancestors or the spirits you work with,
mm-hmm.
And these types of things. I'm a big advocate for reverence in all that we do, especially as part of our spiritual practice.
Absolutely. Yep. I think you nailed it there. You know, there has to be research, and sometimes DNA, you know, is helpful, but more importantly, it's like to approach it, in my opinion, with folks who know how to do it and are tied to mm-hmm. the actual sources, and then go from mm-hmm. there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to believe this, but we are at the half of the time. It's already gone. this goes really, really fast. But I want to lay out a plan. And when we come back, because we're going to take a musical break, and when we come back, I want you to take us like to real school. How do you get your set? How do you start practicing? How can you start doing readings for yourself, for others, etc.? With that said, I invite you, Tiffany, and everybody to listen to this beautiful song by Sparrow Rhythm, which we just saw them on concert, and it was amazing to have a taste of PSG. And since we still have a big moon up there, it's not a full moon, but it's still a big moon. So let's listen to this song that is called The Moon is High. And we will come back with more here with Reverend Tiffany Andes in Lunatic Mondays. Don't go anywhere.
The moon is high, night of power, the children come at the witching hour. Our hands are raised to the four directions. Spirit power is ours again. The moon is high on this night of power. The children come,
the moon is high. You are listening to Lunatic Mondays, building bridges of community around the world. We'll continue with more. Don't go anywhere. And we're back here live on Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP. And I always tell you this is the first bilingual show because we have two. Our second bilingual show is produced by yours truly, and it's on the air every Saturday. And we have collaborators from Mexico, from Spain, from Argentina, and from the United States. And so, and also obviously from Brazil, which makes it also a bilingual show because that show is on Spanish and Portuguese. And for July, we're going to have a very special show with Christian Ortiz about the life of Maria Sabina. Maria Sabina is the super famous curandera healer who taught the world how to eat mushrooms. Yep. If you ever heard the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and everybody talking about the mushrooms, yep, they went and learned how to eat them with Maria Sabina. So she was a curandera in Mexico, and the show is going to be about that on Spanish, obviously. Then we're going to have an astrology show with Monica Govin on July 10. We're going to have shamanic journeys with Harwetu Leva on the 17. And then on Portuguese, Patricia Finclair will be doing an interview to Janus Ogardean. And then yours truly, Laura Gonzalez, on July 31st, talking about rituals. That is a special show, Anchor, based on the traditions and rituals of PSG. And that show was originally aired in 2020. And for those who speak English, despair not, because there's a lot of shows in English. So the two on Lunatic Mondays will be on On July 12th, we're going to have author Storm Firewolf talking about their books and the fairy tradition. And on July 26th, we're going to have Stacey DeMarco talking about her new book and all her oracles that she has created through the years. And then, of course, as always, follow Circle Talk with Deborah Rose. She will have Yenya Beachy and July 6th. And on July 20th, she's going to have Monica Boderski as her guest. And then, of course, you have all the series with Selena Fox, Natural Spirituality. She's doing a series on forest healing and eco activism for July, and Nature Spirituality, talking about Lady Liberty and some other wonderful and interesting topics. And of course, we will have Moon Magic with the Ewens in July, still to be determined. I don't know exactly when, but it will be two Thursdays on July. I'm assuming probably the 8th and the 22nd, but don't believe me yet because we don't know exactly when yet. Anywho, I'd like to welcome back our wonderful guest, Reverend Tiffany Andes. Tiffany, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, Laura. Thank you.
So welcome back to Lunatic Mondays. And we left people in the midst of learning about how to acquire their own set. So how do you go about acquiring your set? I thought they were sold like as a set already. No, am I totally wrong?
You can go. I'm going to give you two answers. Here's my first answer. You can go on Etsy and purchase already composed sets, varying from anywhere between 10 pieces. I've seen some as large as 100. It just really matters, you know, how many pieces you want. And you can even buy the cloths for them or the rabbit skins or other things that you would use to actually throw the pieces onto. My other answer, and probably the one that's going to allow you to build the best relationship you can with your pieces, is first determine what natural pieces you want to use. So if you want to use chicken bones or possum bones or coyote bones, or other bones that you may find on your journeys in the woods or something like that, definitely research safe practices when, you know, cleaning them and preparing them for things like this. And also spend some time giving thanks to nature and to those things that sacrifice themselves, you know, for those bones. And you can also use other things as well that you find. You can find small stones, you can find nuts. If you're at the beach, you can use shells. All of these things, you know, are available. But I advocate for spending some time as you collect these pieces and as they sort of speak to you what their meaning is going to be in your set to give thanks and reverence to those pieces. Also, a lot of curio sets will include things like rings, small figurines, cowrie shells, money like pennies or nickels, things like that. Other really small like medallions, beads, these types of things that you can just pick up around your house. I have a really funny story about that because as I was building my set, there was a particular ring that I had years and years and years ago. I hadn't seen it in forever, but it kept popping up, you know, as a meaningful piece. It represents relationships. And I was like, I need to find this ring. So I literally, like, we have moved 5 times since I lived in Baltimore. And we have boxes upon boxes in my basement. And I went through each of the boxes until I found this ring because it would not leave me alone.
Wow. That is awesome. That's the one that wanted to work.
Yeah, and as you are building a relationship with your pieces, you know, if you decide to use a cloth or a fur or, you know, just draw a circle on the floor, you know, different people will use different methods, and you have to kind of figure out what works best for you. Some pieces may ask to join your set, you know, and you have to kind of figure out what it is they represent in the context of the meanings and the readings. And other pieces may actually ask to leave. So I think I have around 30 pieces in my curio set right now. And, you know, if something I run across wants to be added, then, I kind of spend some time figuring out what that means. And I don't think I've had any pieces ask to leave yet. But if you're doing readings consistently and they're giving you kind of iffy readings or they're waffling a little bit, you might want to kind of figure out, okay, is this piece just not working anymore?
So in my practice, I kind of understand what certain symbols will probably mean to me, right? Like you were saying, like a ring is about relationships, and maybe a coin will be, of course, about money and prosperity, and a plane or something like a little car will be about traveling or vacationing. But for the uneducated Mexican host of this show that has never done this, what does the bone actually mean?
What is the bones?
Yeah.
It can mean various things. Depending on what type of bone it is, if you edit it yourself or not, like if you've painted a bone, because some bones like scapular bones are very flat. So if you toss it, it's going to land on one side or the other. So I have a piece like that in my current set. It's a cow bone that is black on one side and white on the other. And that piece represents like karmic contracts and those types of things. And so if it lands on one side, it means that these were intentional, something that you actually had involvement with before you were incarnated. Or if it lands on the other, then those are karmic contracts that you've picked up while you've been in this incarnation. So some people write numbers on their bones. Some people actually write real words, you know, like prosperity or lies or truth or these types of things, right? And so it'll tell you what it means when it lands. And you can also use things like teeth to and those have their own meaning, like the need to defend oneself and that kind of thing.
Wow, that is so amazing. That is so beautiful. I really am in awe of all of this, and now I'm like curious, no pun intended, to learn even more about it, you know. Are there any books that you will recommend, or any like podcasts, or any like YouTube artists or people that you might follow that will help folks that are very new to this?
What I can do is provide a list for you, and you can maybe, you know, send that out at a later time. I don't have any like right off the top of my head. I know I've got two books and a couple of blogs that I ran into.
Awesome. Well, we will ask the folks on the show to come back to the page, the Lunatic Mondays page on Facebook, and then look under the event for tonight. And I will post everything that Tiffany gives me. I will post it there for y'all to follow and to kind of, you know, get your feet wet and start collecting your little things and, you know, get going. What is the most important no-no that people have to know? Don't do this when you get started with this.
I would say disrespecting either your curios and your bones, or not giving spiritual reverence to your ancestors or your spirits or those things that you work with. I know in some instances that I've read about, people will actually lose their ability to divine accurately. And I think that's because they let their practice suffer, and they're also not doing the personal spiritual work that they need to do in order to maintain that relationship with their spirits and their ancestors and the divine.
Wow. So what is rule of thumb, like, how do you care for the actual, like, physically, how do you care for the set?
As you use them regularly, because when you're actually casting, you usually cast from either a bag or a basket that will, you know, hold your pieces. If during throwing them one gets damaged, if it's possible to fix it, then go ahead and fix it. If not, then just kind of retire it from your set. You know, say thank you for the service that it's given and everything else, and just formally retire it. For storage, I store mine either in the basket that I'll cast with, or in a bag with some mugwort. And that's just my herbalist coming out, because mugwort helps with, you know, psychic abilities and things like that. And before you cast, they do something that's called smoking the bones. And that's where you can use incense, Palo Santo, or some other, you know, cleansing type substance to basically blow smoke over your bones to ready them, because the belief behind that is you're applying your breath, which is sacred, along with the cleansing implement you're using to prepare the bone for a reading.
Okay, that is, yeah, that sounds very beautiful. All right, thank you. This is like so amazing. What is something really, really important about learning how to do this divination, stem and throw in the bones, that I haven't asked you because I don't know nothing about it, about this, and that it's important for us to know?
I think we've hit, you know, all the really important parts, as far as acquiring and taking care of them, and, you know, doing the spending time with them and things like that. I can't emphasize enough with any source of, you know, our tool of divination, the most important thing is to spend time with it, to both, you know, get to know the tool that you're using, and to also, you know, actually practice so that you can hone those skills in your readings and things like that, and give readings to anybody, you know, that wants one, or you can do readings for yourself as well.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you like, this is going to be the silliest question because, you know, I'm vegan. And can one do throwing the bones or casting without actually having animal products in it? Or do you think that I'm stretching too thin?
I won't say no. Because if you've made your own set and you've, you know, gathered all your pieces and everything like that, if those pieces have meaning for you, then, you know, do your thing. There's no historical precedent for that. It usually includes some type of animal part, whether that's teeth or claws or bones or things like that, or other aspects of nature that you've brought in.
Yeah.
So
you know,
my answer is kind of yes, no.
Yeah. You know, as I was asking you the question, I was thinking, then that'll be something different.
Yeah.
That in and of itself, it will be a different kind of divination, and it will not be the throwing the bones. It will be, you know,
yeah,
something completely different. But who knows? Maybe we're creating a new divination system here. Giving
maybe
people ideas. You know, but no, I get it. Mm-hmm. Why it has to have a aspect and a piece of nature. I wouldn't frown upon it, or I will work with the nature things. I just, you know, as a vegan, I thought, let me ask about this and see if there is a precedent, but there's none. The time has flown because, of course, we're having such a good time. Before I let you go, I want you to please plug, super, super plug your professional practice as a coach, as a life coach. Tell us all about it. Where can people find you and how they can hire your services and all of that?
Sure. They can find me on Facebook. I'm listed there as my actual name, Tiffany Andes. They can find me at my website, which is IndominusLifeCoaching.com. Indominus is spelled IndominuS. They can reach me via my email, which is Tiffany@IndominusLifeCoaching.com. I am on Instagram as Indominus Coach. I am also on Twitter as Indominus Coach.
All right. There you have it, folks. Thank you, Reverend Tiffany Andes. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I really, really appreciate you coming and talking about this beautiful divination system. And I especially appreciate your emphasis on having reverence for the practice, because I think that's key. And
yeah.
So with that, I want to say thank you, not only for being the most wonderful and welcoming person at Circle, but also for all the work that you do and for being on the show tonight. And I will leave you the microphones so you can say goodnight to your audience tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura. And thank the entire audience that listened tonight. I'm so, so excited. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. And thank you, everybody, for following this show. Just to remind you all to also follow us on Facebook. We have the page of Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. There is also a page for Lunatic Mondays. If you want to know a little bit about my show and a little bit about me, that's where you have lots of updates about my work. Or you can follow me on Tarot by Laura Gonzalez. And also to follow, of course, Circle Sanctuary on all their social media outlets. We are on Facebook, obviously. We are on Twitter. We are on YouTube. And we are on Instagram. And without further ado, I leave you tonight with this beautiful anthem by Sparrow Rhythm called I Am Pagan. And until the next show, never forget that you are loved. Good night.
I am pagan and I'm proud. I am pagan, gonna shout it loud. I am pagan, want the world to know that I follow the goddess cause she rocks my soul. Don't need your Bible, I got the wisdom of the to this life I'm reborn, no Ten Commandments. One fills the bill, and in harm none do what you will.
Joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.